All right, take your Bibles and go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 24. I'm going to do a Bible study here tonight on the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ. And I've studied this a few different ways, and I've taught it a few different ways. And this is a little bit different from the first few times that I taught it here. I just studied some more stuff out and don't have all the answers to everything, but I believe the Bible gives us enough information here to get a general idea about when Jesus Christ was conceived and when He was born. So tonight I want to look at that for a few minutes. If you've got another thought on it, I would love to discuss it with you at another time, not during the service. Amen. And I'm all for learning and trying to understand it more. If I'm ever wrong and the Bible's right, then I'm changing what I believe because the Bible's always right. And I'm thankful for my Bible. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 24 is where we're going to go tonight to start. You say, well, what does that have to do with the birth of Christ? His birth is in Matthew and in Luke. Luke chapter 2 is what's read all over the world among most Christians. They'll read the Luke chapter 2 story on Christmas morning. But we're going to start in 1 Chronicles 24 for a reason. And then go back up to the birth of Christ over in the New Testament. But figuring out when He was born has to do with the order of the priests and when they served. And so we're gonna get into that. But before, we're just going to give a quick study on these priests here. So 1 Chronicles chapter number 24 is where we're going to start. And we're going to look at verse number 7 and read down through a few verses. So 1 Chronicles 24:7, the Bible said, "Now the first lot came forth to Jehoiarib, the second to Jedidiah, the third to Hiram, the fourth to Sirium, the fifth to Malkijah." I'm probably going to butcher some of these names. I tried to study them before, but you can't prepare for some of these names. "The sixth to Majamin." I don't know what he's jamming on, but praise the Lord. All right, "The seventh to Hakaz, the eighth to Abijah." And that's the one that we're going to focus on here in a few minutes. "The ninth to Jeshua, the tenth to Shechaniah, the 11th to Eliashib, the 12th to Jacob, the 13th to Huppah, the 14th to Jeshabib, the 15th to Bilgah, the 16th to Immer, the 17th to Hezer, the 18th to Aphses, the 19th to Pethia, the 20th to Jehezekiel, the 1 and 20th to Jachin, the 2 and 20th to Gamal, and the 3 and 20th to Deliah, the 4 and 20th to Mahaziah." All right, so these are the 24 orders or lots of how the priests were to serve. These divisions were broken out. Each one of these had a week that they served. Okay, and so I've got them each up here on the screen for the course that they served in, the verse. And I found an interesting website that showed when their next course would have been on our calendar, which the Jewish calendar is different than the Gregorian calendar, which is what we're under now. There's also a Julian calendar. We're not under that now, but all these calendars play in. And the calendar's been messed with so many times, we probably don't know what's up from down right now. But we take the Jewish calendar and we're able to convert some of that over. So in our calendar, this is when their next service would have been. Okay? And so if they were still serving in those courts, and I don't know for sure, they might still have priests that do something during this time, but the temple's not there. There's the Dome of the Rock is sitting on top of the temple right now. And so it's not there. But if everything was still in place like it was, here's when they would serve again. All right? And so the dates on the very next slide is when you'll see the order. So down there on the bottom, the 23rd course, which would have been Deliah there, he would have... No, let me see. Go back up. Sorry. The very top one. Okay, Huppah. So he was the 13th course, and he would start his service on Saturday. Okay? So it's Saturday when they would switch from one priest to the next, when they served there in the temple, that they would switch over. So if this thing played out and they were still doing all that, he would start on January the 1st. And For some reason, this is how they had the calendar laid out. So it's the day, the month, and the year. And so this is how the order would be. So he would serve for 1 week, and then the 14th course would come in, and so forth and so on. And then if you go back, this would be the second half of next year would be this right here, the way that it all falls out. All right, and I'm going to show you both the calendars together here in just a minute. So the book of Chronicles refers to these priests, and it tells us that these are the descendants of Aaron. Now, Aaron had four sons. He had Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And two of them died before Aaron, they died there. And so only Eleazar and Ithamar had sons, because the other two had died. And you can go back and read about them. They messed up. There's always been people messing up in the Bible. Amen. We still mess up. I thank God we have grace and mercy and forgiveness and long-suffering. And if we went in the temple and messed up today and went over there, they didn't have to tie a rope to our ankle and pull us out. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. And so these were the descendants of those sons. And so they start going down through there. And these are the 24 priests that had lots. And they were designated to serve in their order. And this is how the Lord laid it out. The first lot, second lot, third lot, and fourth lot. So each order was responsible for ministering during a different week. Okay, they each had a week they had to minister. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but from history and from one verse we're going to go look at, go to Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. There was 3 weeks in the year that all the priests served. Okay? And we see these 3 weeks mentioned in Deuteronomy 16, 16. So three times a year, all the priests would serve. And I guess it's just to be able to handle the amount of people that would come for these special 3 weeks. Okay? So that every week, the whole year, there was one priest serving. Three times a year, all the priests would serve. Okay? And that's important for our dates. Okay, so the first course of priests was the family of Jeroboam, who served the first week, and then Jedidiah, and so on. Okay, the third week of the year on the Jewish calendar is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay, all of the priests would have served during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And look here in Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, that they shall not appear before the Lord empty. So there's three main feasts that they had where all the priests, all of the orders were present during those 3 weeks. Okay? And again, I'm just being transparent. I don't have a verse that says all of them served during that time. But everything in history and all the things that we've studied showed us that all of those orders served during those 3 weeks. Okay? And that's also important because of the dates and how some of these lay out. Okay? So the first course would have been Jehoreviv, and then Jedidiah here served the second. And then the third week on the Jewish calendar would have been the Feast of Unleavened Bread. All the priests would have served. And then the very next week, this harem would have served in his course. He was the third one. So he would have served in back-to-back weeks. He would have served 2 weeks in a row. He would have served with everybody else in the third week, and then he would have served his course the following week. Okay? And then when the 24 courses was completed, the cycle repeated over again. All right? And so every priest would serve at least 5 times in the year. They would serve 2 weeks by themselves, and then there's 3 weeks that they would serve with all the other ones, so that would be a total of 5. Okay, so here's how the first 10 weeks of service would have played out. You say, what does this have to do with the birth of Christ? We're getting there in just a minute, if anybody asks that. All right, so the first week, and this is the Jewish calendar. That's the first month of the Jewish calendar. That's Nisan, 1st through the 7th. This priest would have served. The second week would have been Jedidiah. The third week was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then the very next week, the fourth week, Hiram would have served his course. In Deuteronomy 24, he served the third lot. Right? But that would have been the week that he would have served that. Okay, then you go all the way down to the ninth week, which is around our month of May and June. I'm going to show you that in a second, which is the Feast of Pentecost. When we went to Israel, they had just started Pentecost. They had Pentecost, and the Muslims had Ramadan, and nothing was open. You couldn't go get food anywhere. So don't go to Israel during Pentecost and Ramadan at the same time, because they're all closed. Unless you found some backslidden Jews or backslidden Muslims, then you can get something to eat. Wasn't everything closed? I mean, we couldn't get breakfast. I mean, everything was closed. So, but it was neat going. All right, so Abijah here would have served back to back. He would have served the ninth week and the tenth week. All right, so since the feast week of unleavened bread occurred in the third week and the feast of Pentecost occurred in the ninth week, Abijah would have served his own course in that tenth week. Okay, so y'all following me so far? Now go over to the book of Luke. All right, now go over to the book of Luke. Look at Luke chapter number 1. I don't want to confuse anybody. I'm trying not to. The Bible tells us to study, to show ourselves approved, and also tells us to compare Scripture to Scripture. It tells us how to study. So that's what we're doing tonight. All right, Luke chapter number 1, and look at verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, which this is spelled a little bit different than the one in the Old Testament, but that's the same guy. All right, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Okay? So we find here this man by the name of Zacharias, who was of the course of Abiah. All right? And which course was he? Does anybody remember? He was the eighth course. Okay? So that's the course that he served. That's how the Bible describes it to us. So he served in the eighth course. Okay? And verse number 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Okay, so that's the order that this man by the name of Zacharias served. Okay? So he served two consecutive weeks because that's when his lot fell. His lot fell in that eighth lot, which was the week after Pentecost. So he would have served that week, and then he would have served the very next week. Okay, so he served 2 weeks in a row. Okay, so here's a calendar, a Roman calendar, against the Jewish calendar. Now, this could be a whole other study, but here's how it works out. So the Jewish calendar, which is Nisan or Abib, and if you want the references to where each one of these are mentioned and where they fall, I have those, and I can give them to you if you want to afterwards. I can make copies of this stuff if you'd like it. But we find that over in the book of Esther. It's also called Abib. All right, but the Jewish calendar, their first month is Nisan, and that falls in the last half of the book of the last half of the month of March and the first half of April. Okay, so about March 15th, and every year it changes some. The Jewish calendar is different than the Roman calendar or the Gregorian calendar. Okay, and actually, every so many years, they don't have a leap year. The Jewish calendar does not have a leap year. So every now and again, they'll have a 13th month just so they can keep all the orders right. And so they can keep because their calendar goes off of the moon. Okay, it goes off of the phases of the moon. So it's a full moon out there right now, right? So they're probably starting their next month right now in the year. We're at the end of December. And you can actually look online. There's actual like tools you can look online that if you type in like today's date, it'll show you the exact date on the Jewish calendar. And it fluctuates year to year. I mean, sometimes it's the beginning of, like, if it was the first of Nisan, it might fall on March 15th. If you look next year, it might fall, you know, the 1st of April. It's just how, it's just kind of how it works, all right? So I'm not going to go into a whole lot of details on the actual year that Jesus was born, but I believe it was around 5 B.C., and the reason why I believe that is because it lines up with the crucifixion date, and we might get into that later on in the year when we go over the crucifixion. So, but all the calendar near 5 B.C. lined up there. Okay, so this is how it lines up. So the month of Sivan, all right, is the last half of May, which when we were in Israel, the last week of May was Pentecost, right? Because that was the week we were there. I think, did we leave on Memorial Day or the weekend before we get back that? Y'all remember? You remember? I don't remember. It was right around Memorial Day, and that week, the whole week was Pentecost. And so that could have been the week before the previous year, the week after, and that's just how it falls. All right, so here, he would have served during this year the Feast of Pentecost, the second half of May. So sometime in the last 2 weeks of May, he would have served for Pentecost. Okay? And then he would have served his first course. He serves two a year. He would have served his first one right after that. So we're just going to, for sake of the calendar and it lining up, he served the Feast of Pentecost sometime in the second half of May, and he served his first course in the first half of June. Okay, so let's pick back up the Bible there. Luke chapter 1, verse number 6. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. Okay, so this wasn't after the Pentecost. It was the week after that, which is when he served his course. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So he served his duty. Verse number 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So he's at work and God showed up at work. Amen. Don't you like it when God shows up at work? Does he ever show up at work? I don't know. I'm thankful when he shows up. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, that's Elijah of the Old Testament, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So this is the prophecy of John the Baptist coming. He told Zacharias that he was going to have a son and God was going to open her womb and answer that prayer. Okay? And so, let's look down here. Alright, verse number 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Okay? And we're going to assume that he was gone for 2 weeks, came home to his wife. Okay? And after those days, after what days? After his ministration were accomplished, after he finished serving there. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Okay, so he served his 2 weeks. He served the week of Pentecost. He served his course. And immediately after that, and if you're still asking what does this have to do with Jesus, just hang on. We're going to get there. All right, so Elizabeth would have conceived sometime after Zacharias finished his course. So she would have conceived sometime in the second half of June. First half of June, he was working. Sometime in that second half of June, she would have conceived John the Baptist. Okay? And I don't have to go into detail about conceiving and birth, what the difference between those two are. I hope not. If not, ask somebody later. Ask Brother Bowen. He'll tell you. All right. So, y'all following me so far? All right, this is a rabbit trail here, all right? I love doing studies like this, and I've got a lot of them. So I don't bring them out too often because people think I'm crazy. So, all right. So the Bible tells us then that Mary, 6 months after John the Baptist was conceived, that she conceived of the Holy Ghost. All right, and so let's look at that. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. So I finished reading at verse 25. Look at verse number 26. Okay? And in the sixth month, so in the fifth month, or for 5 months, Elizabeth hid herself. And the Bible tells us in the sixth month. So we know this is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Okay? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Okay, so she shows up to Mary there, and he prophesies about Jesus Christ and telling her about this child that she's going to have. Okay? And saying that she's going to conceive this child, Jesus Christ. All right? And so look at verse number 36, or verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So she was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 36. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Okay? So the Holy Spirit shows up and Jesus Christ is placed in her womb. And the Bible is very careful to tell us this is the sixth month of Elizabeth's birth. So we can track it from that. So Mary, if you do the math, and I hope I did it right on this thing, she would have conceived in the second half of December. Okay? So Jesus Christ's birth, or his December 25th would be more accurate for the conception of Christ and not his birth. Okay? He was not born December 25th. Now, if you look at the calendar and look at the Festival of Lights, which I'm about to talk about in just a second, it's possible that he was conceived on the 25th. But we don't know that for sure. But it was sometime in the last 2 weeks of our December was when Jesus was conceived, or Mary was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And so, just some interesting facts about that week. I'm not going to go into a lot of this because I'm going to run out of time. But the Jews celebrate Hanukkah in December. Okay, I don't believe you can find Hanukkah in the Bible. Unless I'm mistaken, I don't think you can find it in there. But they celebrate Hanukkah in December. It's also called the Festival of Lights. Okay, in John chapter 10, verse 22, I want you to look at that verse real quick. Hold your place in Luke. Look at John chapter 10, verse 22. We find a festival that takes place around this time of year that the Bible doesn't call Hanukkah, and it doesn't call the Festival of Lights, but it's called the Feast of Dedication, okay? That happens at this time of the year. It happens the last 2 weeks of December, and the Jews do celebrate a feast that week. They call it the Festival of Lights or Hanukkah. But this feast that happens this time of year, the Bible calls it the Feast of Dedication, and it does take place this time of year. And you can actually look up these different feasts, and it'll show you when they fall on our calendar. And if you look it up for this year versus last year, again, that fluctuates because the calendars are different. All right, so John chapter 10, verse number 22. Let me get there myself. The Bible says, "And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication..." And it doesn't end there. It says, "And it was what? Winter." When does the winter officially start? December 21st. Okay? So December 21st was the first day of winter. Okay? So we know that this Feast of Dedication happened at least after December 21st for this year for us, because the Bible said it was winter, and it was the winter month. So this thing took place. You say, what is the significance of Jesus Christ being born during this Feast of the Dedication? I believe that every single event in the life of Christ lines up with some kind of feast or some kind of a major feast in the Bible. Every major event, you had his death is associated with what? Passover. His death is associated with Passover. His ascension is associated with the first fruits. All right, Pentecost, that was the giving of the Holy Ghost. The second advent is associated with the Feast of Trumpets. Okay, so it would make sense that his birth was associated with a feast. What the Bible calls the Feast of Dedication, the Jews celebrated as the Festival of Lights. And what I think is interesting about that is the fact that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. And so when he came into the world, he is the light of the world. And again, we're not going to look up all these verses, but they're there, John 8:12 and John 9:5. Jesus Christ being the light of the world, he said, I am the light of the world. Him coming in and Mary being conceived of him there in December would not be celebrated his birth, but his conception. Okay, so that's just a side note in the study there. All right, so back to the verse there back in Luke. Are y'all still following me somewhat? Iffy, maybe. Okay, go back to Luke chapter number 1. All right, Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 56. Okay. So, pop quiz. It's up here on the screen, but in what month of Elizabeth's pregnancy was Jesus Christ, or was Mary, was the seed placed in the sixth month? Okay, look at verse number 56. And Mary abode with her about how many months? So how many months is that total for Elizabeth? 9 months. Okay? And returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came, which is about 9 months. Okay? Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And who is that son? John the Baptist. Okay. So John the Baptist was born 3 months after Mary conceived, and it would have been sometime in the first half of the month of April. Anybody here born sometime in the first month of the half of April? Anybody? Yeah. You might share a birthday with John the Baptist. We don't know what day. What day is your birthday? The 10th? All right, we'll say it was the 10th. So John the Baptist was born sometime the first half of the month of April. Okay? All right, so Jesus Christ would have been born, of course, 9 months after Mary was conceived, but it would have been 9 months after Elizabeth's sixth month of pregnancy. All right, so we can follow that down through there. Look with me in Luke chapter number 2. Nope. Let me see. Okay, Luke chapter 2, verse number 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So this is when Jesus Christ was born. So it would have been 9 months after Elizabeth's sixth month of pregnancy. So we trace that all the way through. Jesus Christ would have been born sometime in the last half of the month of September or the first half of the month of October. Okay? Now, I said every major thing in Christ's life matched up with a feast of some sort. And sometime in the last half of September and the first half of October is the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, the Feast of Tabernacles. And so Jesus was most likely born during the Feast of Tabernacles. So if you would look at that month, I got the calendar up here, the month of Ethanim, that feast took place on Ethanim, like right in the middle of the month, like Ethanim the 15th, or somewhere in there. And so it would have been sometime the last half of the month of September, or towards the 1st of October. If you look at the calendar in 5 BC, when I think Jesus Christ was born, it would have been right around September 15th of that year, of when Jesus was born. But again, that fluctuates based off our calendar. So Jesus was most likely born during the Feast of Tabernacles, sometime the last half of the month of September and the first half of October. Okay? Leviticus 23:34 says, speaking of the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month, which is the one we're looking at, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. So for a solid week, they would have that Feast of the Tabernacles. And so Jesus Christ, if everything else lines up with feasts, I think he would be born during that time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. Okay? And so it would be sometime in late September to early October every year. So if you want to celebrate the birth of Christ, that's when you would do it. Sometime in the last part of September or first part of October. Okay? And something else I think is neat about that I'm going to get to it for just a second, and then I'm going to show you why we celebrate the birth on the 25th and a little story about that. But turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick. So Jesus Christ would have been born during the Feast of Tabernacles. The very first time we find the word, before I get there, John chapter 1 verse 14 said the Word dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that word dwelt carries the idea of like a tent, or, you know, abiding like in a tent. And so Genesis chapter 4 verse 20, we find out people dwelt in tents. And Genesis 9:27 talks about the dwelling in the tents of Shem. And God established this Feast of the Tabernacles, okay, of the Tabernacles with this tent back in the Old Testament. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, I got to get there myself. I know I'm rushing through this because this is a whole other study in itself that I just grabbed a few notes from. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible said, for we know that if our earthly house of this what? Tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands eternal in the heavens. So the Bible refers to you as being, your body as being a tabernacle. What know ye not that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. All right, that we belong to Him. We're bought with a price. The Holy Spirit of God indwells us. So He comes in that tabernacle. All right, and so you say, what does that have to do with the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, our bodies are called a tabernacle here. So when you get saved, God comes to dwell in your tabernacle. All right? He came, He born, He died on the cross for us. He came to dwell in that tabernacle. Look at Revelation chapter 1. You can do a study sometime on Jesus Christ and the tabernacle. It's an interesting study. You can go through and look. I'm just gonna read a couple verses here that describe the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of similarities between Him and that tabernacle that they had there in the Old Testament. All right, Revelation chapter 1, verse number 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, describing Christ here, and his feet like unto fine brass, and if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And so, if you were to look at a comparison of Christ in the tabernacle, it talks about him being covered there in white from head to toe. The tabernacle had a white sheet that surrounded it. There's a white sheet that surrounded the whole thing. He said his feet were like brass. You can compare that to the brazen altar. Talked about this golden girdle about his paps. There was golden sticks. The table of showbread there. His eyes is a flame of fire. There was an altar of incense in the tabernacle. His golden crown. There was an ark of covenant that also had a crown. The voice of many waters. There was a brazen laver. If you really study the tabernacle, there's a lot of comparisons between Jesus Christ and that tabernacle. And something else that's really interesting is during the millennial reign of Christ, the entire earth is going to come to Jerusalem to worship Jesus during, guess what feast? The Feast of Tabernacles. That's in Zechariah 14, 16 through 19. So for 1,000 years, people are going to show up during the Feast of Tabernacles during the Millennium Kingdom to worship Him. And so, if Jesus Christ wanted His birth celebrated, it's going to be done during the millennial reign of Christ. Maybe it hasn't been done up to now because people are celebrating the conception or what they believe to be the birth of Christ, but during the time that He was actually born, people are going to come every year to Jerusalem and they're going to worship Him during the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, and if you want some of those verses again, I can give them to you. So, all right, Jesus Christ was born sometime late December, early October, in the seventh month of Ethanim. So let me just go through this really quick. December 25th is not His birthday. Around the year of 312 A.D., Constantine marched into Rome and took the throne. He was a Baal worshiper. A lot of the people in the Bible Institute are learning a lot about some of these guys. And Baal worship was worship of a sun god, and there's a lot of other illustrations we give of Baal worship and the different kind of gods that they served. But after he won the battle, he claimed himself to be a Christian. Okay? And he mixed the Roman church, Christianity, and Baal worship all together. Okay? So December 25th was considered to be the birthday of the sun god, because that's the day that the earth is the closest to the sun. And he declared the first day of the week to be a holy day. So that's why we call that day Sunday. What does the Bible refer to it as? Just the first day of the week. Alright, so that's where we get the Sunday. It's the day of the sun. Alright, so that's where they came up with that. Later, the sun god's birthday, December 25th, was changed to Christ's birthday. Alright, Nimrod, who is the male deity in Baal worship, was replaced by baby Jesus. So these are all things that were worshipped. This sun god Baal was worshipped, and his son, the male deity in Baal worship, was Nimrod, and they changed him to baby Jesus, and his mother was replaced by Mary. Okay, as far as how this whole December 25th thing came along, all right, and you can look all this stuff up. I got the references there on the two books I got some of this stuff out of. And so December 25th is not Jesus' birthday. The word Christmas itself means Christ Mass. It's a Roman Catholic term. Every time I study this, it makes it difficult for me to go around telling people Merry Christmas. I mean, it does, because you're saying Merry Christ Mass. Amen. It's a Roman Catholic term. And so that's the origin of December 25th and how we started to celebrate Jesus' birthday on December 25th. Anybody have any questions? Any comments? That's right. So we need to be celebrating the conception this time of year. I don't know how you celebrate that. And then in the end of September, we'd celebrate the birth of Christ. And we don't do Mass. So, amen? So we're just celebrating the birth of Christ. So I guess we can start telling people happy Christ's birthday at the end of September. All right. Merry conception during the end of December. So, the commercialization, and the whole world recognizes December 25th as Christ's birthday, and that's when they celebrate this thing of Christmas. You know, here in the last several years, they've done away with even saying the word Christmas. I mean, even, you know, even though it's a Catholic term, because unfortunately, the Catholic Church is what the world defines as being a Christian. Like, they're the picture of what a Christian is. And if they don't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're not even saved. All right? So, but that's what they look at as a whole. And so to get away from anything Christian related, they switch this thing of Happy Holidays. And but they don't realize that one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Amen. And so they'll know exactly who He is one day. So that's how all that happens. And, you know, every year that's what we do. There's a whole story behind the tree, too. The tree and putting decorations on it. And it actually started out pretty morbid. And it changed over to being a part of Christmas. So there's a reason behind all that. But I guess as long as we celebrate Christmas and we do things with our kids, as long as we teach them what this thing's really all about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our home, we limit the number of presents and things. Actually, we only, don't think it's horrible. Every time I tell people this, they say, man, you're so mean to your kids. But we do like a little stocking for them, but then we only do 3 gifts. That's all Jesus got. Right for His birthday. We do a gold, frankincense, and myrrh gift. And that's all we do. And they're nice gifts. We put a lot of thought into just 3, and they each get 3 gifts. And each one represents something. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we talk about it every year. And we try to make those 3 gifts something special. And that's it. I mean, these people that are buying presents for their kids, and there's so many. And I think they're teaching their kids a wrong thing. And then you're worried about, well, this kid don't have, this one's got more than this one. And this, I mean, it's completely has nothing to do with Christ. And we're teaching our kids the wrong lesson. Amen. And if they've got family and grandparents and aunts and uncles, they're going to get plenty of presents. Amen. So when we celebrate Christmas, let's do it the right way. And remember, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're giving gifts to each other, but we always be careful to say, hey, we're able to provide these things. It did not come from Santa Claus. We're able to provide these things because God's been good to us. Because Jesus did come and He was born and He did die for us and He saved us. And because of that, we're able to do this. So we're giving Him all the glory for it. So, amen. All right, well, let's all stand.